Let's take our Bibles, take our declaration before you and say, "This is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen." Man, where has the time gone? I'm looking at this life. That can't be right, huh? It's only 10:30? Thank you, Lord. Well, we have another 2 hours. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Everybody's like, "Oh, Lord." A few amens, a few, okay, I'm hungry. Y'all ready? Amen. I tell you, you're a great bunch of people. I thank God for you, honestly. Thank you. You know, 2018 has gone, and now last week I talked about 2019. We're starting out the year. You know, a lot of times what people do when 2019 comes, or the next year comes around, they make promises. They make promises to God. They make promises maybe to their family. They make promises to their spouses, their friends, you know, about maybe things that they will change in their hearts or change in their lives, things that they will do for the good. You know, it's not always change for the bad, but things that they intend on doing. Maybe to, you know, set a little bit more time aside to pray. You know, maybe it might be, you know, to set a little bit more time aside to read the Word of God, which is both great things. Maybe it's a little bit more time to set aside in seeking God and doing His will and obeying Him, and all those things are great. And we need to have those goals. We need to try to do, you know, the things of the Word of God and try to implement that in our hearts and lives. And it's a good, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to look at when the calendar ends, starting with a new calendar, that we try to evaluate our hearts, evaluate our lives, evaluate the things that happen to us, evaluate where we're going, what we're doing, and tune ourselves back where we need to be, maybe, or tune ourselves into what God wants us to do and what where He wants us to go in those, in our hearts and in our lives. Because you know, even a vehicle has to be tuned up every once in a while. No matter, you know, time and age comes around, we have to tune things up, change spark plugs, change hoses, change belts. You know, there's things you have to do as time goes on. And there's nothing wrong in us evaluating our hearts and evaluating those things in our lives and maybe looking and saying, maybe I need to kind of tweak this in my life and do maybe a little different on this part so that we can accomplish what God has set for us. Now, we can't lose the sight of what God has spoken to each and every one of you individually, you know, and spoken to me individually. How maybe I need to do certain little things to bring about the God-given plan that He has set before me. Because you see, God has set a plan for each and every one of us. And we, as children of the living God, we want to accomplish what God has set before us.
Amen.
I know that. There's not a one person in this building today that would say, "Well, you know, I don't want what God wants." We all want what God wants. And God wants what He wants. And He has to do certain things in our hearts and our lives to prepare us and to get ready. We got to be in that vein of thought, in that vein of action, in that vein of what He decides and what He wants, and get into it and do what He wants. Led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes change is not good. Change is a hard thing. But God can change our hearts and in our lives. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Chapter 15. Samuel chapter 15. If look at verse 1, it says, "Samuel also said unto Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken you unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, here we see Samuel was who? The prophet. That was the prophet. The prophet that would say, thus saith the Lord. Back then, there's still prophets today, you know, it's still in season for that. God has given us the Bible. But in the Old Testament, the prophet would go and say, thus saith the Lord. This is what God is saying for the children of Israel. This is what God is saying to the king. And the prophet Samuel said unto Saul, which was the first king of Israel, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken you unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, that's very ironic that the Holy Spirit said it that way. Now therefore hearken. That means hear, listen, do thou unto the voice of, hear the voice of the words of the Lord. That we're to hear that voice. See, 2019, God is shedding out the Holy Spirit upon the earth. I mean, it is being poured out, people. It's being poured out. God is speaking to us. We need to hear the word of the Lord. We can hear many voices. We can hear many voices from the world. We can hear many voices from our own minds. Our own minds. Many voices are going on. Many voices of other people. And you know, a lot of it's good, a lot of it's not good. But God, in us being his children, are wanting us to hear his word. Hear the word that he's speaking to the church. Hear the word that he's speaking unto us. Hear the word that he's speaking for us to go and do something. Hear the word for us to go and pray for people and to give money in what he wants. Hear the words of what he's speaking from the throne room of God. You might say, well, you know, Pastor, we're just here, you know, on gate on here. Hey, let me tell you, God is looking for a people that will humble themselves before him. He doesn't look at what the area is. He doesn't look at the name of the place so much. What he looks at is the hearts of the people of God.
Amen.
And he looks at those hearts and he says, how can I use them? Will they listen and hearken to the words that I speak to him or her? God is speaking, people. He speaks through his word. He speaks through maybe a song. He speaks to us on the inside, the audible voice of our God, listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that quickens us and tells us things. Samuel, the great prophet, went to the king and he said, let me tell you something, buddy. Listen to the voice of the Lord. He knew that Saul, the king, would go through things. And because he was over the children of Israel as king, if he would listen to the voice of the Lord, the children of Israel would live in freedom. If he would not listen to the words of the Lord, the children of Israel would live in bondage. That's for us today too, people. If we listen to the words of the Spirit of the Lord, that he's speaking to the people of God, and he speaks to us, we will live in freedom. Freedom in the spirit realm. Freedom to worship God. Freedom unto him. While everybody else might be in bondage of some kind. But if we don't listen to the Spirit of the Lord and what he's speaking to us, and when I say this, because this is where we hear, you know, the audible voices of things. But if we hear what God has said, as we listen to that voice, he will bring freedom and liberty to your families and to your hearts and into your lives. But if we don't listen and we don't hear, because sometimes, even with the children of Israel, God would call them a stiff-necked people. That means they hardened their hearts. They did not want to hear what God had to say. See, God is moving, people. upon the earth without listening to him. Lord, what do you have to do? What do you want to do? We need to be more in tune with him. Do the things that God calls. Look, this is the song. And God wanted to use that man. But here we see in Scripture, he reigned for 40 years. 40 years. And in one of the chapters, I forgot which verse it was, it says that he basically listened to the voice of the Lord for only 2 years out of the 40. That means 38 years of bondage. That's not good. You might say, well, didn't God put him in place? Well, the people wanted a king. And David wasn't ready. God had chosen David to be their first king. And so God gave them what they wanted. And he told them that he would take their children and they would be in bondage, that they would serve the king. And they said, still give us a king. He will tax you, still give us a king. They still wanted it. I mean, all kinds of stuff, yet they still wanted it. God gave, I have to go through this a little quickly here. God tested Saul's heart twice. Well, really twice. And one was in obedience, and one was trust. You can see it in that, in the comments there, the two things. And he failed twice. In obedience to the Father, he failed. And in trusting God, he failed. God told him in earlier scriptures, look, I want you to go and wait 7 days. Okay? You know, 7 days. And I will come in and I want all the children of Israel to go to Gilgal, it was called, and just wait. And instead, he had a bright idea when he came. He waited the 7 days, but he didn't gather all the people in Gilgal. And he hurried up and took off because he was afraid that the Philistines would come and destroy him. And so the people dispersed, and God was upset. He didn't obey him. See, obedience, people, God wants us to obey him. Obey him. When you sense something in your spirit, I know you might say, well, sometimes I don't know for sure. Well, I tell you what, come talk to us. I'd rather you come and say, Pastor Joe or Jelaine or somebody, and say, what do you think about this? And it's more than just maybe the wisdom that we can give you on that situation, but it's for us to get back home and pray for you in that situation, that you do what is right in obeying the Father and obeying what God wants you to do. Because souls are in the balance. Souls are in the balance in our obedience unto him. And he failed at that soul. An amazing thing. Also trusting in him. God wanted this king to trust him. It says that God told him to go to a certain Malachites, I think it was, and to go in there and to utterly destroy it. That means all the cattle, all the sheep, all the donkeys, all the horses, all the men, all the women, all the children, all the grandparents, everybody, everything was to be utterly destroyed. I said, well, man, does God kill? Well, God will allow certain things to happen so that it doesn't infiltrate the church or the body of believers and destroys it. And you know what? King Saul went in there and they killed a lot of stuff. But they kept the best of the sheep. They kept the best of the oxen, the best of the cattle, some people that they thought were pretty good. And it says, Samuel came around and said, Saul, where are you? And Saul came running to Samuel and said, you know what? I've done what God wanted me to do. And Samuel the prophet said, well, Saul, why am I hearing the blood or the bleeding of innocent blood or blood being shed? What, something's not right. See, he didn't obey what God wanted him to do. We have to trust and obey God in his coming here. Pull up that scripture in Nahum, I think it's chapter 1, verse, I think it's 7. It says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Look, people, the Lord is good. Oh, my Lord, just we can stop right there. He's good to us. A stronghold in the day of trouble. That means when trouble comes our way, he's the stronghold. He's the mighty fortress. He's the mighty power. He's the mighty strength that supports us and helps us and keeps us standing. He's a stronghold. He knoweth them that trust in him. We have to trust him. We have to trust him. Trust him. It may not make sense. It may not even look right, but we have to trust him. 2019 needs to be the year that as a church, as Gaon International Church, that we take a step of obedience and we take a step of trust. We take a step of obedience and we take a step of trust. It may not look right, but we still trust him. It may not seem right, we still obey him. As a church and as individuals, we got to do it. We don't want to be like Saul. We want to be like David. Even though David messed up, he still had a heart for God. Obey God. Obey him. Obey him. Proverbs chapter 3. Bring that scripture up. We know that scripture, chapter 3. You know, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the tablets of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thy heart. And we know that scripture. People, with all your heart. Not half-hearted. Trust him. And lean not on thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy neighbor and marrow to thy bones. Trust God. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase, so that thy horn shall be filled with plenty, and thy presence shall burst out with new wine. Trust him. Go back to verse 5, please. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, because it may not make sense. But to God it makes sense. Trust him. Trust him. Don't have the Saul attitude of thinking we know what's best and we can do our own thing. That we trust him. And also we obey him. Go to that scripture in Luke. You might say, why are you doing it this way? Because of time's sake. You know? But I don't want you to think I'm just pulling it out today, or, you know, that it is a scripture, okay? You know, there's a lot of crazy people out there, you know. Just so we praise him about the Lord, that's okay. And the things that he wants for our hearts and in our lives. And it says in Luke chapter 5, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake where the fishermen were gone out of them and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drop. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing, nevertheless, thy word, I will let down thy net. Stop right there. Obedience, people. Trust and obedience, hand in hand. Trust and obedience. These disciples had been toiling in the fishermen's business. They were cleaning out their nets because they caught zero that night. And Jesus comes around and he starts to teach them again. And he says, look, guys, let's just go back out there. They said, well, okay. Did they know they were going to go fishing? I don't know. But he said, he told them, look, Master, we have toiled all the night and I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. They obeyed. They threw that net over. Has anybody ever gone fishing all night or all day and caught zero? You what you want to do after all that, you try to look for somebody on the side of the road that you can buy some crabs and fish and try to say, hey, look, I did okay. Not to tell the whole truth that you scratched, you know, but you did okay. Try to bring something home to boil or to cook, you know. Shrimp, crab, something. But they got out there, and he said, they looked at him. Now that was obedience. At your word. I mean, can you imagine they were discouraged as they had tried to catch fish and tried to catch fish all night, and nothing came in. But they looked at the Father, or looked at Jesus, and they said, at your word. Master, I'll do it. They had nothing to lose. They had zero. They needed this fish to pay bills, to feed their families. And they said, at your word, I will obey. At your word, I will trust you. And they threw it over. And they tried to bring it in. There were so many fish. Where were those fish beforehand? Well, those fish knew when the master got on that boat and went on out there, they knew. Whatever he says, I got to obey, because he's our king and he's our Lord. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. There were so many fish that their net started to break. They obeyed and they trusted. They obeyed and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. That's the kind of God we serve. When we obey and trust Him, it's overflowing, people.
Amen.
Overflowing.
Hallelujah.
So they began to sing. Now they began to sing. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, and henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Obey and trust. Look, 2019, this is what I want to get across to you. Obey God with the speech to you, and trust him. Obey God and trust Him. It may be hard. You may not understand it, but you do it. God, in His infinite wisdom, knows what's best. God knows how to bring people into this place. We obey Him and we trust. I don't want to do the ways of the world. I want to do the ways of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit gets a hold of people, and life changes, and God moves upon them. If you bring them in with the ways of the world, you've got to keep the ways of the world to keep them in. And that means those two foot gets a hold in the church. Oh my God. And it brings down what God wants to do. And that's not a good thing. But when you obey and trust God and you let the word of God go forth and He draws them in, and they come in, it's the Spirit of God that works on them, and it's the Spirit of God that keeps them in. My God, what a God we serve. When you do things God's way, success will always be there, no matter what. No matter what. Obey God and trust Him. Last night we were reading the story about David and Goliath. My God, read it tonight. It's a man, it did something in his life. Oh my gosh. This little boy, I say boy, a teenager. Out of all the men in Israel, God chose that boy. God prepared him by killing a bear. He killed a bear to protect the sheep. He killed a lion to protect the sheep. He was just a shepherd. The lowliest of all professions in Israel, shepherd. The king, David the king, was a shepherd. When Jesus was born, where did he go to first to announce it to the world? To whom? Shepherds. Not the king, not Pharaoh, nothing else but shepherds. And David came to bring some food to his brothers. And this Goliath, which was one of the beasts, you want to say it, had intermingled with women long before that and made a mongrel society, giants that were not by God. This thing came out over 9 feet tall, cursing the God of Israel. And David's just bringing food, giving it to his brothers. How y'all doing, man? You know? And he stops, and it catches his ear. Because he would come out in the morning, he'd come out in the afternoon, he'd come out at night, and he'd holler. Because they had a valley between the two armies, the Philistines and the children of Israel. And David heard, and he said, how can they let this guy curse the children of Israel? And curse my God. A righteous anger rose up in him. God chose that young boy to be the conqueror for Israel. And it says they tried to put on the armor of the king, and it just didn't work. So all in all, it was just too big. He just picked up 5 rocks, and his sled shot. He could have picked up 1 rock. He could have picked up no rocks. God would have done it however he wanted to do. But he picked up 5. And that thing, Goliath came out. And he said, I have enough of this God. It's an amazing thing. That Goliath never ran down. It says David went to him. Kill the Goliaths in your life. Kill those things in 2019 that try to destroy your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your body. Destroy those things by looking to God and saying, God, I put my faith and my trust in you and what you have done at Calvary's cross. He went down running with no armor on, pants, shirt, whatever he had, 5 rocks and a slingshot. And he was running towards him. And look, they started laughing and laughing and laughing. And the devil will laugh at us. When we come to him with not with sword and spear, but in the name of Jesus Christ and in the blood of Calvary, the old enemy will laugh at us. But he knows it's the enemy, it's the cross of Calvary that destroyed him 2,000 years ago. And it's still the cross of Calvary that will destroy him today. My God. He slung that 1 rock and that thing flew. As he's running, I never did a slingshot like that and running. But that had to be hard, but he knew what he was doing. But God, by the Spirit, can you imagine as he was whirling that thing around and that rock, I don't know how big it was, came out of it, and the power of Almighty God put his hands around that rock and made it go faster than a nuclear bomb. The power! We have to realize when we get in the vein of the power of God, the power of Almighty God comes forth out of us. And it went into the... Okay, let's face it. David was a professional almost with that. But he was still a young boy. And it hit him right in the center of his forehead. It could have hit him on his cheeks. It could have hit him in his arms. It could have hit him in his leg. He had the full armor on, so it probably wouldn't have affected him, but there was a space that the helmet did. And God knew. It was like a bullet that came for him. And it says that when it hit him, there was so much force that it imprinted into his forehead and killed him instantly. He fell over. And David, running like he was, he didn't know what was going to happen to people. But he knew this: I'll stand for my God. I'll stand for the things of God. And I'll do what God wants. And I will not let this thing destroy my God or God's people. See, God will use, God can use each and every one of us. There's many things that God wants to do this year, people. So listen, listen, listen. Listen to the Spirit of God and obey. Come talk to us. Come talk to us. Say, man, God has put this on my heart. But let's see what we can do. A mighty fortress to get them, to let God move and let God be glorified, praised, and honored. And it says David, in his full force of running, got to that Goliath, took that sword out of Goliath's sheath, and cut his head off, and took that head and said, as a promise was made, whoever would be destroyed would be the servant of the other. That means all the Philistines now have to be the servants of the Israelites. But they started killing themselves instead of being the servants. That's okay. Let them give themselves. That's the power of God. Obey and trust. Obey and trust. Obey and trust. Obey. It may seem small to you, but to God it's big, people. That rock seems small, but it killed the giant. Obey Him. Obey Him, trust Him. I said, well, how do I do? Obey Him when He speaks to you. And you trust that He will do what He said He would do. We know He's a God that keeps His word. Obey Him, trust Him. Obey Him, trust Him. Obey Him, trust Him. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your soul. Obey Him and trust Him. No matter what. No matter what. Okay? You may stand at this. I want to thank you for the little bit of time you gave me that I went over. I appreciate it. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you would like to do so today, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? See your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? There's one person that raised their hand, so let's pray together, okay? Would you repeat these words after me, please? Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you
to forgive me.
Of all of my sins.
Of all my sins.
I accept you
as my Lord,
my God,
and my Savior.
I believe that you died on the cross,
and
you rose again from the dead,
and
you're seated at the right hand of the Father,
and
you're coming again soon. We accept you as our God, our Lord, and our Savior. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Andrew, you want to come and close? Andrew's going to come and close in prayer. I did finish a little early. It's only 11 o'clock, guys. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we lift up these people to you, Father God. We ask you, Father God, that you will be with them as they go, Father God. Let them be a witness to everyone that they come in contact with, Father God. Let us storm the gates of hell this week, Father God. Let there be no room for faintness, Father God. Let there be no room for being cowardly, Father God. Let us go forth and be warriors in your world, in your kingdom, Father God. We ask you this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.